Morning, I want to think about two passages in the book of Revelation, the two passages that Donald read for us this morning. Revelation is, of course, the last book of the Bible. It was written by one of the disciples, the Apostle John, following revelations given to him. He was staying on the island of Patmos, and these revelations came to him and were given to him by God, particularly about what is going to happen at the end of time. What's going to happen in the last times? Now, the book of Revelation is very different in nature, in terms of literature, compared to the rest of the New Testament. It isn't a letter. It's not a gospel. It's none of these things. It's not really historical. It contains a lot of kind of symbolic language, things that are maybe a little tricky to understand, difficult to understand, maybe a bit veiled. It's known as apocalyptic literature, and that is the book of Revelation. So it's a little different to everything else that we've got in the New Testament. It's got more than akin to some Old Testament books, a bit like Daniel. And this book, it's written to seven churches in the province of Asia. And it begins, the book begins by giving addresses to each one of these churches. This is what God is saying to this church and this church and this church. And we looked this morning as to what God was saying to the church in Ephesus. So this begins with addresses to each of these seven churches. And then the rest of the book begins to describe what John sees about what will happen at the end of time. Now, looking at the book of Revelation today, we reach the end. We reach the end. And in some ways, it's appropriate that we're looking at this today, this morning, because it's the end of our series, looking at the Essential 100. So I hope we've managed to do the 100 readings, and it's given you a kind of framework for the Bible. It's the end of our time here at the Village Hall. We've been really well looked after here, and we're very grateful for that. It's also coming towards the end of our refurbishment. Finishing touches are just being put together. It's coming to the end of that as well. Revelation is the last book of the Bible. It tells about the end times. So all these endings are coming together this morning. But what I want to say to you this morning is, because Revelation is the end of the Bible, the last book of the Bible about the end times, it doesn't mean that this is the end, because the story continues. And in many ways, it's just the beginning. Revelation also tells you of the beginning, as we read of in the second reading that we had today, of everything being made new. Now, when we come to the book of Revelation, it's not a book that is preached on terribly often, although we have been touching on it in our evening services in a little bit more depth. When we come to the book of Revelation, some people just groan. Give me a gospel. Revelation, too difficult. I don't want to read it. It's got all these things about scrolls being opened and different things and kind of dragon things going on and different things. What's happening in it? And I think it's difficult and it's beyond them. Others that are here this morning probably think this is a great book. I really enjoy getting into the nitty-gritty. I love the kind of imagery. It's just how your mind works, and you like this book of Revelation. Now, I think today we have two passages that I hope are a bit of a mixture of both, okay? It will satisfy both sets of people, because they're not too hard to understand, not too hard to follow. But basically what I want to say to you today is that if you want to know what happens in the book of Revelation, it's what I say to the children. God wins. That's what happens at the end. That's all we really need to know. And if you're on God's side, then everything turns out well. Though it doesn't turn out so well if you're not on God's side. But that's basically the gist of the book of Revelation. But I've chosen two passages today from this book that I think might be helpful for us as we tie up this series of the Essential 100. And hopefully what will help us as we move back to the church building and in some sense complete part of the journey that we've been on and we've been on in these past months and indeed these past years. So in our passages this morning, the first passage that we read this morning is from Revelation chapter 2, and it's written to the church in Ephesus. And although we find that the words here are for a certain church at a certain time in history, there are also words in this book that hold a meaning which transcends time. They can also speak into our situation. This church in Ephesus is in many ways commended. In many ways commended by God. They're commended for their hard work. They're particularly commended for their perseverance, which you'll notice is mentioned twice in the passage. How they have endured, how they have not wearied, how the church has ploughed on, kept going, they've been hard at work. This is all good stuff for the church in Ephesus. I'm going to a parents' night tomorrow. My boy's only 3, but I'm still going to a parents' night. It'll be interesting to see what they say in his report card. I hope it's okay. I'm sure it will be. Amazing that they have parents' night for those who are only 3. But if this was a report card for this church, you'd say, well, these things are going, they're doing quite well. Working hard, they're persevering, they're pushing through, they're enduring, they're not wearying. But then comes verse 4. Now, if you're a teacher here, you know you always start with a positive, and then you go on to but, don't you? And you notice in the passage here in verse 4, it says, Yet I hold this against you, says the Lord. You see, even in the life of this church that was hard working, that was persevering, that was pushing through, there was something that was not right. They were working hard, persevering, keeping going, and yet they've forsaken their first love. They've forsaken their first love. In other words, what they've been doing is they've been going through the motions. They've not really been doing things with the right attitude. They've really forgotten the main part of Christianity. They've forgotten about Jesus. They've forgotten about the love that has been shown to them. And they've let their love for God grow cold. And probably their love for one another too. They've forsaken their first love. And so they're told by God that they need to repent and go back to basics, so to speak. To focus upon Jesus again. You're doing all these things and all these things are great. But get back to Jesus. Remember why you're doing these things. Get back to the cross. To understand what God has done for you there. You see, it may have been that these Christians in Ephesus, they were going through the motions. And yet their heart was cold. And God is saying, I want your heart to be warm again. I want your heart to be warm again. I want you to be serving God, not because of obligation, but because you are moved deep in your soul. Because you know that God has called you to do what you're doing. And as we come to the end of our time here in the village hall, and as we move back to worship in the refurbished church building, we also must make sure that our hearts are in the right place and that we are focused upon the right things, that we don't lose our focus, which when you're doing a project is very easy to do. You see, what happens in our Christian lives when we lose our focus and when we begin to forget why we're living out our lives in a certain way, why we are a Christian in the first place? When we forget what it's all about, what the heart of the gospel is and what the heart of Jesus dying on the cross for us is, what happens is that we become a bit cold. And even worse, we might even become a bit bitter. And we begin to resent what we do within the church in terms of service. We begin to resent, well, why do I have to live out my life this way when other people who are not Christians seem to be having all the fun? And what the Lord is saying to the church in Ephesus, which has perhaps gone a bit cold towards him, is remember your first love. Remember why you're doing all this. Don't just go through the motions, but find your heart warmed once more. Find your heart warmed by my love once more. Find your heart on fire again. I was 11 years old when I became a Christian. I wasn't from a Christian family. And several things happened around that time, and I put my faith in the Lord Jesus. It happened when I was on a football pitch playing football one day. And I remember when I first came into a relationship with Jesus. And you found your heart strangely warmed. You found that you wanted to pray, you wanted to read your Bible, you wanted to be in the church. I think those in the church were quite surprised that this young boy wanted to come to the prayer meeting. Why did he want to do that? Because your heart was warm. It was excited. And of course, that's what it's like when you first get in love with someone, isn't it? The first flush. I know it's a long time ago for some of you. The first flushes of romance. Do you remember what that was like? Exciting. Exhilarating. You're walking along in the park. The flowers look brighter. The grass is greener. The sky is bluer. It's like that with Jesus, isn't it? Isn't it? And perhaps you've known times like that. Either when you first put your faith in Jesus, or times when you've known God's closeness and you've known his presence. And it's wonderful. He's your first love. But maybe there are times in your life when you know you're going through the motions, that you're just grinding on. And what I want to say to you this morning is for each one of us, particularly at this quite crucial time in our life as a church family, is that we may need to make sure that our focus is not upon the building. It's not upon practical issues. Our focus is upon the Lord. Our focus is upon Jesus. And we need to make sure that he is our priority and that our hearts are warm towards him. We need to make sure that we have come back to God, that we make time for God, that we remember those things that are truly important, that we repent of thinking too much about ourselves and our own feelings, our own concerns, and that rather we focus upon him. And if we do turn back to God, rediscovering our passion for him, then God says to the church in Ephesus that he will give them the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And I believe that will be true for us too. Good things await those whose hearts are right with God, who put God first and who remember to put God first always. So this morning, if you find yourselves grinding, if you find yourselves just working things through, go back to the cross. Remember why you're doing this in the first place, and put your faith in Jesus and rediscover your first love. And find your heart strangely warmed once more. So let's put God first in our lives. For in our second reading, we see the reality of what's going to happen at the end of time. You see, even though this is the end of the Bible, and it's talking of end times and of judgment and the end of the world, it's not the end. It's not the end. In many ways, it's just the beginning. You see, after the old is done away with, the new comes, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will be with God forever. And there is that great promise that there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old is gone and the new has come. This is the reality. This is why we've worked all the way from Genesis. Remember in Genesis with the fall, and everything falls away and we think this is a disaster. Man has turned away from God. How is God going to restore all things? And, you know, things work through and things, we go to, you know, the judges, and the judges are all turning away from God. They ask for a king. Kings start well and they all fall away as well. The prophets come in and constantly the people are turning away from God. And God sends a solution in the Lord Jesus. The perfect prophet, the perfect priest, the perfect king. The Savior, the one that we really need. We live in the end times, and we see some of those end times shown in the book of Acts, in Paul's letters, as to how the church lives in this time of the Spirit. And in the book of Revelation, we see how all things are made new. The old is gone, the new has come. This is a reality. This is how things are all going to work out. You see, it is, as John Newton writes in Amazing Grace, a hymn that you all know very well,
When we've been there, talking about heaven,
when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. We're going to be there for another 10,000 years, and another 10,000 years. Wonderful. You see, the end is only the beginning of a life with God that will last forever. In the picture behind me, you see a seedling in someone's hands. Apt, of course, for spring, of course. A seed, of course, is just a little thing, isn't it? It looks dead. And you put it in some ground that also looks pretty dead. But the amazing thing is that the seed grows, becomes a seedling, becomes a plant, becomes a tree, whatever it might turn into. Life comes. Life. Where before, everything seemed dead. And we need to know in the Christian life that this is the hope that each one of us has. That though things might be hard for us now, and we have to persevere, we cling to Christ, and we remember our first love, because our hope is that we will be with God forever, and there will be no more tears, or pain, or mourning, or death, but He will be our all in all. Death is not the end, only the beginning of life with God. And I just want to lastly link this with what is happening to us as a church congregation. Next week we'll be back in the church. I got this off the internet somewhere. It says, join us this week. I thought, that's a good thing. Join us this week for our opening of the building down the road. Next week, God willing, we'll be back in the church building. It will be warm. It will be comfortable. It will be inviting. In some measure, it's the end of the project, the end of our journey around the village in different accommodation. But in some ways, it's only the beginning for us as a church. Because we didn't do this project just to be warmer. We didn't do this project just to be a bit more comfortable. Nice spin-offs, though this might be. We did this project because we love Jesus. And we want to use our building to be able to share Him with others too. And what a great opportunity we have to do that with the building that we now have. So during this crucial time, during this next week, pray as we move back that all of our eyes would be focused upon Christ, that we would not forsake our first love. Pray that we would understand that this is not the end. We might kind of sigh a collective sigh of relief, but it's not the end. It's really only the start for us as a congregation, and God still has much more for us to do in our midst. I know that when your heart is right before God, believing in Christ, then you have hope. Hope that whatever is happening in your life, that your destiny is to be with God forever. And that though in your own life you might be hurting just now, that with Him, and when you're with Him, there will be no more crying, or mourning, or death, or pain. So this morning, let's keep our eyes focused upon Jesus. Let's not forsake our first love. Let's lift our eyes from temporal things, knowing that there is eternity before us that will be with God 10,000 years, and 10,000 years, and 10,000 years, and forever. How wonderful will that be? And our life here on earth, it will seem just like a breath in comparison to the eternity that is before us. Shall we just pray together? Let's pray. Our loving Lord God, we thank You for Your word to us this day. We thank You for the series that we have completed, looking at these 100 passages in Your word that give us an overall picture of what the story of the Bible is and the story of salvation. Father, we thank You for the book of Revelation and from what we've learned from it this morning. We thank You for the way that You spoke to the church in Ephesus. We thank You for the way that You commended them for their hard work and their perseverance. And yet, Father, we recognize all was not right for that congregation because they had forsaken their first love. And Father, we pray in our own lives that You might help us not to forsake our first love, but to come back to Jesus, to come back to the cross,
to find our hearts strangely warmed once more, that when we do serve within the church and we do live out lives to your glory and your praise, we don't become resentful or bitter, but we realise we are doing it for your glory and because we love you, because you have first loved us. Father, if we come to you this morning and we find ourselves struggling or hurting in any way, we pray also that we would take hold of the promises that we found in our second reading today, that there will be a time when God will make all things new, when there will be no more mourning or crying or pain or death. And Father, we look forward to that time when we will be with you forever and you will be our all in all. Father, we pray, Lord God, as individuals, but also as a church family, especially over these next few weeks, that you would be very close beside us, that we might know your presence and that we might share your love with others around us. So, Father, speak to us through this word this day, for we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake.